Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. You enjoying the rain, Jeffrey?
Anything for the grass, baby.
I didn't mind the rain. Nice, soft rain, gentle rain as you're heading into work on a Monday. It, you know, it captures my mood after last night's fiasco. So there is that. We got a lot going on today, though. Today we have Let's Just See. We got the fight song roundup when we'll play and the fight songs of those college football teams that deserve to be honored for their performances over the weekend, and will blow up. And don't you think if people made a game of guessing which fight songs would be played and which one would be blown up, most people could narrow it down pretty well.
I would think so.
There's a pretty obvious blow up. Yeah. I mean, there's always lots of choices.
Sure.
But there was one bigger belly flop than any others.
There was a special one.
There was a special one. And so we'll do that in the second segment. We got the Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris was at the open practice, the Grizzlies open practice. And it was, I urge you to read his piece at the Daily Memphian. He said one of the most interesting things was like watching how the injured veterans moved.
Yeah.
You know, like it's fine. Everyone's dancing and who's winning the 3 points, whatever, and everything else. But what did Jaren look like? What did Edie look like? What did Brandon Clark look like? Let's tell us. And also, by the way, just generally, because we've never seen him, what did Cedric Coward look like?
Sure.
Right? And so we'll talk to him straight up at 10 o'clock. We also have the Grizzlies preseason opener tonight at FedEx Forum. We have actual basketball at FedEx Forum tonight as the Grizzlies take on the Pistons. They have three preseason games this week at home. And what do you... Don't you think the most interesting thing tonight is the opportunity to see Cedric Coward play basketball?
Yeah, I think what I'm looking for is, are they tipping their hand on rotations now?
They won't be I doubt they will, because who knows who's going to play, you know? You only get a sense of the rotation if you actually had a full roster. You know, who knows who's going to be suiting up, not suiting up, how much Jaw's going to play, whatever. It's funny, The Athletic maybe had one burning question for each team heading into this season. What's one burning question for the Memphis Grizzlies? If you had to just pick one.
One burning question. How many games does Ja Morant play?
That's exactly it. Ja's availability. Right, that's Ja. It was just Ja. Hollinger wrote it. And anyway, burning question for me tonight. I've never seen Cedric Coward play basketball. Literally never. I wasn't watching the Washington State games. Were you?
One time they played Pepperdine, so I got to watch that.
You saw a glimpse.
Yeah.
Was he impressive? Do you recall anything of him? Did you know you were watching a future Grizzly at the time?
I don't know if I knew I was watching a future Grizzly. I do think I remember thinking, like, he can score.
This dude's good. Anyway, we got that, and then we have a whole weekend of sports to talk to, including we got postseason baseball. We've got NFL, which we will try not to talk about tonight. We got Chiefs Jags, good, interesting Monday night game, don't you think?
I actually thought this was the most interesting game of the week, but we were gonna have to wait till Monday to get it.
We had some other things that turned out to be interesting, but yeah. And then, you know, I bet you had a better weekend than Mark Sanchez.
I think I had a better weekend than Mark Sanchez.
And so we can, we have a lot to, get into. We also learned that, let's see, the Chris Brown concert is being canceled.
Yep, saw that.
That was supposedly, allegedly, because of stadium renovations. And, oh, I don't know if you knew this. If you had any inkling of this, showboats aren't coming back to Memphis.
I think we learned that on Friday.
What a stupid thing that when everyone reported, what was it, a month ago, that they're not coming back to Memphis, they had to put out a statement saying, premature.
Nothing has been decided.
Whatever. Come on, just stop it. Stop it. And then whatever. So we get the and it's because the stadium's too big.
Of course.
That's why. It's not because nobody here gives a flip. But that might have something to do with it. And then, of course, at some point this week, I just may take calls about what's going on in Memphis. We like to take calls. And you all are eyes and ears out there. And it was an interesting weekend for me. Everyone, you know, we all have different experiences in Memphis. We live in different parts of Memphis, whatever else. And it's very clear the National Guard isn't here, but lots of other folks are here in uniform. And so I'm just wondering what people's experiences of it is. And so we may get to that, if not today, some other day later this week. For me, unquestionably, I have seen more cops, just more like what I'm 240. You know, what I drove out to Millington for to go on a bike ride yesterday, and you know, whatever. Then instead of seeing one on the way, you'd see five. Right? It's sure. Like that. Like it's just a lot heavier presence on the roadways, and then I hear choppers. That's the other big thing. You don't hear choppers. You haven't heard choppers?
I have not, but I don't think I've really been actively like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't
miss it. Like, we were on the dog walk each of the last two, and I live in East Memphis, and each of the last two nights we were on the dog walk at 9:30, 10 at night, and both nights I heard two different choppers in two different parts of town. So, and I do wonder, like, what are the choppers doing? Who's flying the choppers? Like, you know, what's the goal of the choppers? What, you know, do they have spotlights? Like,
right.
Like Batman? Like, is it, you know, whatever? Like, we may take calls on people's experience of this at some point this week. So, but there you go. That's the lineup for the day and maybe some foreshadowing. As to the week, I guess we'll start with the Memphis Tiger football team because why not? Why not? Has it ever been better, Jeffrey? Has it ever been better than right here, right now? The only team in the country that is bowl eligible. They are now ranked 23 in the AP poll, 25 in the coaches poll. They have won 10 games in a row after their beatdown of Tulsa 45-7. 46 straight games of 20 or more points. It's their best start, 6-0, since 2015. And a lot of good things happened as they took care of business in front of 27,303 at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
I mean, has it ever been better?
Yes, it's been better. Of course, I mean, it was better when they went to the Cotton Bowl. It doesn't mean this can't be as good as the best moment.
Well, and it also, that question like requires some context. Like, also, it's, you know, that was a completely different era. Like, that's the 14 playoff. Like, that's
right.
Like, that's,
yeah. I can make the argument that it's never been better. And the argument is that they're ranked. It's the first time ever they've been the only team that's. I mean, literally, they're the only team in the whole country that is bowl eligible. And unlike those other eras, they've got a real shot to do something which those teams didn't have the opportunity to do, which is to play in the playoff. And right now, no matter who you're listening to, like whatever, if you were listening to ESPN Saturday morning and they were asked to pick a team who's the best group of five team, they immediately went to the Memphis Tigers. Like, everyone is talking about the Memphis Tigers as the leader in the clubhouse. Now, mind you, they are 23 in the AP poll, USF 24.
Correct. But you get them at home.
USF plays North Texas.
Yes.
Does that mean if they win that game, they will leap? And do we want them to win that game? Are we looking forward to an undefeated Memphis and an undefeated USF, a ranked Memphis and a ranked USF playing at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium? And who knows? Stranger things have happened. Game day back in town.
Yeah, I think the question is, do you want the biggest game or do you want maybe the better chance to win? And so to me, it's like,
well, if they beat North Texas, it suggests that, but they are what they are.
Correct.
Whether they win or lose against North Texas, it doesn't.
No. So, I mean, if that's the case, then you want the biggest stage.
I think you want
possible.
The biggest stage. You want the opportunity.
The only pushback I would say on that is, Memphis is now in the position where it doesn't really matter in terms of, like,
they don't need style points.
They just have to keep winning.
If they win out,
they're the ones.
No style points required. Right. Just win, baby. But in terms of, I mean, I haven't looked to see what other big games there are that weekend. I'm sure there are any. But in terms of, if you're thinking far-fetched, maybe game day coming, it is enhanced if it's two undefeated ranked teams, right?
Oh, there's no question, especially. So,
and you want the biggest stage. And, you know, that SMU team they beat when game day last year was a.
All right. Here are the possibilities. So Stanford, Miami, no. Wisconsin and Oregon, no. Ole Miss at Oklahoma, maybe.
That's a possibility. Have they been at Oklahoma?
They have been at Oklahoma. They went to Oklahoma for the Michigan game.
Okay.
A&M at LSU.
Ole Miss, who does Ole Miss have before that?
Ole Miss would then have, so Ole Miss has before Washington State, then they have Georgia, then Oklahoma.
So I, if you're a Memphis fan, you would want Georgia to beat Ole Miss?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just to take that game.
And
down,
I also think you kind of want Texas to beat Oklahoma. Peg,
and you want Oklahoma. Oklahoma isn't Oklahoma without their quarterback.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Next.
Then you have Auburn at South Carolina.
Not that compelling.
Missouri at Vanderbilt.
That.
If Missouri beats Alabama, and then Vanderbilt gets is undefeated up to that point.
Other than this past weekend.
Correct, but let's say Vanderbilt beats LSU, and then they're at that point 6-1, and Missouri 7-0. Well, that's a possibility.
So I hate to say it, because I never root against Vanderbilt. You would have to, if you're a Memphis fan, you got to be rooting against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And to me, like, those are kind of
it actually opens up pretty well, doesn't it?
You also still would have BYU at Iowa State, but. Iowa State's campaign
they don't have any corners. Yeah.
But I mean, to me, like, those, like, they're in the discussion. Like, I don't think it's far fetched.
Back on Beal, baby.
Correct. Like, this isn't like some pipe dream, like, oh, this is just Tiger fans online. No, I think this is a possibility.
I think it's a real possibility. So, in terms of the game itself, I mean, it's just impressive. They did exactly, I mean, 10 games in a row is serious, man. Like, well, I don't care who you're playing. 10 games in a row is serious. I thought Ryan was appropriately dismissive of the bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, we don't really care about that.
That's not what they're playing for.
We assume we're going to a bowl. We knew we'd get to 6 wins. It's nice to be the only team that is bowl eligible at this point. In terms of what we saw, well, we saw one of the greatest catches I've seen in a long time.
I mean, unreal.
Unreal catch.
You know, it was such a great catch because then people started sending out on social media alternate angles.
Alternate angles.
You can just enjoy it from another angle.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and then there were I saw shots, too, of people's reaction to the catch.
Yep.
Like, you know, mouth agape and whatever else. Like, it was just an insane one-handed catch. It is truly like if you were playing football with your kid and a Nerf ball. You know, like you just whoop. Unbelievable catch. I'm told there was no chance it wasn't going to be on SportsCenter. I was told it was number 2 on the college football finale and number 3 on SportsCenter in terms of highlights, but just a sensational catch. But overall, it was Hawkins who had the bigger game as a receiver, 7 catches, 110 yards. We wondered what this would look like, who would emerge as the go-to receivers.
Well, yep.
Now he's got a couple who have emerged as the go-to receivers. Brendan Lewis, an absolutely flawless, didn't have a pass touch the ground in the first half, Jeffrey.
Yep. He was hitting his guys in stride.
Hit through a couple of the wrong guys.
Hit them in stride.
But ended up with 266 yards. Passing, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns overall, another 67 yards rushing. He's been everything and more than you could want. Does he throw the occasional bad pick? Yes.
That was part of the models. We talked about this coming into the season. Like, if we're talking about...
You would like him to not... Like, the one was behind a guy, and then the other was just a bad read.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't have been thrown. But, like, he's been tremendous. And then... And then the sequence that really sealed it is the 2 quick touchdowns at the end of the first half. So they lead, they're leading 14-7. Lewis throws that pick. And then immediately you got the pick the other way. And that led to the one-handed touchdown catch. Then another pick by Kamari Wilson. And that led to Lewis's four-yard touchdown run. And that was it. You know, and then the second half, Memphis' second half defense is like tremendous. They don't allow anything in the second half. That was, by the way, without William Whitlow, who was ejected for targeting. So he will not miss the next game. And so you go at one point, you know, you're wondering, are they going to be fired up? Are they going to be appropriately locked in? It's not a Tulsa team that scares anyone. And at one point the yardage was 172-22. So there you go. It's,
I just think right there, like, to me, when we talk about, okay, what makes this team different than some of the other iterations that we've seen under Ryan, I think it's the lack of farting around. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not the most hyped up game. Like, this is a sleepy opponent, but this was an opponent that kind of hung around with Tulane for a half. Like, it's an opponent that's actually well coached. They're not talented, but they're well coached. And like, they could, if you just completely no show,
like the Bills, for example,
they can scare you. And Memphis hasn't farted around at all.
They really have not farted around. Is that partly because the strength of this team is running the ball? And
I think it travels.
So
it's before, like, running in defense.
Before, when you farted around, it was because you're not letting Seth be Seth, right? You know what I mean? Here, you're just coming out and you're being yourself. It's what they want to be. It's what they know they are. And there's no reason not to do that from the very start. They just start.
There's no question being able to run the ball and play defense allows you to be more consistent.
Now, will the can they count on, you know, they had three interceptions and a fumble recovery. OK,
yep.
And now we're seeing they are tied for third in the country in takeaways, and they are tied for second in the country in picks. OK, is that something? And this is one of the great arguments in football all the time.
How much of turnovers is luck?
Is that something that we know, generally speaking, year to year, it doesn't particularly translate
right
in the NFL, for example, right?
You look for the teams that had a lot of turnover luck.
If you're trying to say who's going to regress the next year, it's a team that got a lot of turnovers, because we don't think that's really so much of that is luck. So game to game, is that something that we can say this is what they do, this is who they are, and they're going to continue to do that?
So I guess if you want to make the positive cases, I think a lot of their turnovers are generated because they put pressure on quarterbacks, make them uncomfortable, and their secondary has pretty good ball skills. But in terms of, can you depend on getting three picks and a fumble every game? I don't know if you can say that. But like, I don't feel like any of these interceptions were like quote-unquote luck. Like, I do think they were forced.
I forget, a few weeks ago, I asked you, I think, if they will make the title game or if they will be the representative to the playoff.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your answer was then.
No, I said yes.
I think you did.
Yeah.
You said yes then.
Yeah.
Do you feel more strongly about it now? Like, how what do you think the likelihood is that they will, in fact, what percent chance, honestly, do you think is there a chance that they will be the representative from the group of five in the playoff? It's something real that we're talking about now. There's no... No reason to shy away from it. And it's also real to be talking about game day coming back to Memphis.
So in my mind, it's like, okay, what's it going to come down to? And it's like, it really feels like it's going to be a combination of three games. It's going to be a combination of South Florida, Tulane, and the championship game. And that's with all due respect to Navy. I think Navy's going to take losses this year.
Navy's what?
Going to take losses this year. So like, if you beat South Florida and Tulane, that kind of allows you a mulligan, because I don't know if that would necessarily impact your ability to be in the championship
game. You got the away game in East Carolina, right?
Correct.
And you got Navy. And Navy, by the way, did we win? It felt like we had a winning weekend. Did we have a winning weekend?
7-6. Yeah.
7-6. It felt like we had a weekend. But the under for Navy Air Force was not one of the wins.
No.
That was one of the six.
Yeah, and it's just kind of that kind of got game scripted out, like with just teams like – it started getting into a back and forth and just taking shots. So
this
it happens.
This Navy offense, it's called a hybrid wing T, Jeffrey.
Yeah, of course.
Blake Horvath, 20 of 26, 339 yards,
mm-hmm.
and three touchdowns. And he ran for 17 carries, 130 yards. And a young man named Eli Heidenreich.
Oh, yeah.
From the Heidenreichs.
Of course.
Eight catches, 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. How about Navy as an actual threat?
I will add this. If you need to have a good offensive day, Air Force is one of the teams that you want to see on the other side. Like Hawaii even put like in the 40s on them. Listen, they're going to be good. But to me, it's also going to come down to, it's like,
you remember the last time we saw Navy?
Yeah, but that was also, that series has kind of gone to script. It's like, when it's in Annapolis, take Navy. When it's in Memphis, take Memphis.
How about UNLV? UNLV's 5-0. UNLV beat Wyoming 31-17.
In a game that looked like snow football, but I was told that it's not.
It was hail, yeah. Right? They blocked 2 punts for touchdowns in that game. It was a mess.
Yeah, I still think Boise's probably going to beat them, but like, I mean, you can't dismiss them. They're undefeated, but my point is you're ahead of them.
But if you take a loss, that's where if you take losses but still win the conference championship, it can hurt you.
It can, but I still think the American
is
going to...
definitely the perception that the American is.
It's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Anyway, it was a really impressive performance by the Memphis Tigers. And so you can make an argument that it's as good as it's ever been. And a lot of fun for folks who were there. And given everything that's happening in the city, it's just so nice to see people having fun. And it's nice to have this football program creating the momentum that it is creating. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll do the fight song roundup coming up next. Then Chris Harrington will join the show to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. If you're looking for a new financial institution, I suggest my financial institution, Leaders Credit Union. Happy to tell you the same thing I told Claire. Oh, you need a new bank? Go to Leaders Credit Union. So she did, and did her, as did her sons. And the reason is pretty easy, honestly. It's because I just, you know, I kept saying it over and over again. They don't have stockholders. They don't, they're a credit union. And so all the money goes back into better technology, better rates, better service, all of that. It made sense to me. And then my experience has been exactly that. I can get people on the phone when I need to get people on the phone. They're helpful to us walking through the possibility of a new mortgage. So whether you are looking for a new car loan or a new home loan or just are fed up with your bank, they've got a Leaders has a branch in Bartlett. That's the one that we went to. They have a brand new one in Arlington. You can walk in there or you can just download the app and see for yourself what I am talking about. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Let's do the fight song roundup. Memphis Tigers roll, as we have discussed, 45-7. All things are possible. Jeffrey, let me ask you this. Brendan Lewis, it'll be weird and hard to ever decide where he fits in with his predecessors.
Sure.
Right? But you got one season of Memphis football, and you have a choice of Paxton and Riley, Brady and Seth. You never would have thought that Brendan Lewis would be in that conversation, right? Is he? If you have one season, or is this a deal where we're going to look up at the end of the year, and if he has taken Memphis to the playoff, you're going to put him there, even though it's just 1 year, and if he doesn't take him to whatever, you're going to say, eh. And also, what happens if he throws one of these dumb picks,
right,
that kills him against South Florida? You'll feel very differently. So much just rides on what he does week to week, whether you're going to put him in that conversation. He's so different than any of them.
But I think that all speaks to the same thing. It's the fact that it's just a 1 year thing and you don't have the context of, okay, well, he had two other years.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do think it's fair to say this. He might be the best fit for the overall vision of what they want the team to look like, where he's clearly an elite runner. They want to control the ground game.
He really is an elite runner.
Like,
he runs hard. That dude does. Yeah. Would they be better? And again, Seth has been great. Would they be better this year with Seth? I don't think so.
It's just so tough to say.
It's almost unfair. Like, I'm not
like would the Arkansas game have played out differently? Like, if Seth makes a couple of throws early, like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know.
It's impossible to know. But we can even talk about that. Is
he definitely makes the run? It makes running the football a lot easier when you have to account for a quarterback.
It certainly does. 10 in a row. They've won 10 in a row. They're ranked 23 in the AP. And they are bowl eligible, off to their best start since 2015. All right, who's next? I think this was one of your victories. Was this one of your victories?
This was indeed.
Miami.
It got a little sweaty at the end.
Got a little. You would have thought. Up 28-3, you might have been able to just start.
Well, not when Mario's on the sideline. You always know that. All right, here comes the shut it down and let's let a team back in a game they're not going to win.
It wasn't really this close, but it was.
The 19 fourth quarter points for Florida State.
And so now you've got a Miami team that has maybe the best player in the country in Reuben Bain Jr. Right, he's unbelievable, wrecker, and that is wins over Notre Dame, Florida, Florida State, and a destruction of UCF.
Yeah.
Is that the best resume in the land?
I think they have the best resume. I'm fine with them keeping Ohio State number one, simply because they're the defending champions. And on top of that, if you've watched Ohio State play, I think they've given up two touchdowns this year. Like, when you watch Ohio State play, you just feel like, okay.
Well, I mean, they just destroyed Minnesota, and Julian Sand was like, people are wondering, when are they going to let him be him?
Yep.
23-27, 326 yards and three touchdowns. He was terrific. Ryan Day, by the way, his record now is 75-10. This may be heresy, but his winning percentage of .882 is now the highest in the history of the sport. Newt Rockne, 881. So there you go. I'm fine with having Ohio State be one, but it's interesting. Are the three best teams in the land the Buckeyes, Miami, and Oregon, none of which are in the SEC?
So that was my eye test power ranking over the weekend. I think, to me, those look like the rosters that you can sit there and go, I can see them winning a national title. I'm open to the idea, because Texas A&M's roster is going to be very well funded. I'm open to the idea that by the end of the season that they're there. I still don't quite get as overwhelmed watching them. And I think I would say the same thing for Texas Tech as well.
We'll get to Alabama. You don't think they have a shot?
We can talk about it. I'm not that surprised that the truly best team is not in the SEC. I think
Why?
The best league. Because I don't think that they have the.
You don't think they have as much money as Oregon?
Correct. And I think there are two schools that do, Texas and Texas A&M. One is basically exited the chat or has to win out the rest of the way and has its own problems. And the other is undefeated. So I'm leaving open the idea. But those are two schools that historically do the least with the most.
You know, some would say that Indiana should be included in this conversation.
Well, they get their chance.
And they certainly get their chance this week.
If they want to prove all the hashtag haters wrong.
They got their chance this week.
I wonder which side I'll be on.
I do wonder. Mm. I'll be wondering till Friday which side of this.
We might have to do it Thursday, by the way.
You will be on. We might have to do it Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a busy week. Every week's a busy week around here, but we got a busy week. Anyway. Shout out to the Miami Hurricanes. You know what they decided to do? Spend money.
It helps. Like they actually laid the ground, like the blueprint for Texas Tech. Steven Ruiz, who's like a crypto multi-billionaire and has been best friends with Mario Cristobal since elementary school, was like, I want to bring the U back, but I'll only bring the U back if my buddy gets the job.
Worth it.
Worth it.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday.
100%.
Would you rather have a mediocre coach with a massive payroll or the best coach in the land with a mediocre payroll? Give me the mediocre coach and the massive payroll.
Amen.
Next. you know, the score here, Alabama 30, Vandy 14, looks persuasive. Vandy's good. I think Vandy's good. And they're so.
I mean, Jeff, this was one that was so bad that even my wife just goes, I'm sorry.
The beat was bad?
Oh, yeah. Now,
what was the line? You had Vandy and.
We had the over. I thought that's how I was going to split it. I was like, either.
Oh, that's right. You did both of these. You bet both of these.
Correct.
And you lost twice.
Correct.
But we still had a winning week, people. Yes.
There was no, literally, Miller should have taken a knee.
That's probably true.
Vandy was literally covering the entire game until whatever, 17 seconds left.
And really, you had that moment. They're leading. They have a chance to go up two scores.
Yep.
They're at the Alabama 13, I think it was.
Yep.
And Justin Jefferson, and who knew he was could be in two places at one time. The strip and then the 92-yard drive.
Yep.
And it was from there on, it felt like Alabama.
Yeah, I also thought the drive when Vandy takes the lead, 14, they turn the turnover into a touchdown. They take the 14-7 lead. And there's a minute and a half left. I thought that drive right before the half for Alabama to go and make that thing tied, that felt significant to me.
How good is Ty Simpson? Because he looks pretty good.
I don't know if he's the best quarterback in the country, but I'll listen to the argument that he's playing the best.
I mean, that the touchdown pass to where he eludes the rush, steps up.
I mean, but he's even had a couple of plays that don't even step up on a stat sheet. It's to avoid a sack, he's out by the sideline. He just option pitches it over a defender and he keeps the thing rolling.
Just looking at I saw, people discussing whether he's going to be first round pick in the NFL. He does a lot of times look like he is throwing it hard.
He's a max effort guy.
He doesn't just a flick of the wrist getting there.
Correct.
He sets himself.
He doesn't have easy gas.
And he looks like me if I was looks nothing like me. Okay, but here's the matter: if I were at a throw hard thing at the fair,
yes.
How fast? That's how he often looks throwing in the windows. He's winding up. He's got this "I'm gonna gun it in there" thing that I wonder how that's gonna translate. But it's certainly working well now.
He's very accurate. He is the guy that I feel like it's him and Carson Beck. When I'm watching them play, you feel complete command. They're throwing on time.
Total command.
They're throwing to the right guy for the most part. He threw the pick on that fourth down, but Vandy had that defended.
What'd you think of Carson Beck, by the way?
I told you, I've got all my Carson Beck stock. I've been glad that everyone has soured on him. I think the guy's a good player.
And you never blamed him for Georgia's woes.
I watched Georgia play, and I watched their left tackle not be able to block anyone, and I watched their receivers just consistently drop balls and nobody get open.
So, Alabama as a title threat.
My biggest problem with Alabama is when I watch Alabama up front on defense, I don't see the game wreckers that I see at the other true contenders. Now, maybe they're developing and maybe they're going to come along. You don't have to be the national title contender today. You got to be the national title contender in December, January. So I just I'm not overwhelmed by what I see physically on defense, but I think that they are clearly showing. If you were someone that believed in them at the beginning of the season, you maybe should toss the Florida State game out. There's no preseason. It was a week one. They got popped. Florida State was super pumped. They had a great game plan. They played well. Alabama did not. The other issue with Alabama is, Jeff, you just look at the schedule and man, there's still a lot of games that you go, winning all of them is tough.
All right, next. When did we last play this one? Probably last year, the end of the year, right? Sometime in that winning streak.
I can't remember if we blew up Ole Miss or if we played Florida.
Probably blew up Ole Miss.
And we
might have played.
We might have played Florida when they beat LSU.
It's funny. This was one. We knew that Florida had a good defense, right?
Yeah.
what happened on this one? Hey, this is a game where people are talking much more about Texas and Arch Manning than they are Florida, right? In the wake of it, it seems to me, right? The story here is Texas and Arch Manning and everything they are not. Because like Billy Napier, I think this is his fifth life they're giving him, right? Like,
oh, we might be past that.
Seventh life they're giving him. They're still 2-3. They still got A&M next week. They still have three other top 25 teams after that. Like they this is not over on. But what's weird, what's interesting about this one from the Florida perspective is you got the return. We wondered whether it was going to see Arch, but what we did get was the return of DJ Lagway.
Well, and also I think, because I kept trying to figure out, okay, why are Sharps on Florida? Why are Sharps on Florida? Because you asked me, like, why is this not on the card? And I was like, man, there's a lot of signals here that I don't like, and I just don't, I don't want this on there. I think Sharps knew what Dallas Wilson was.
Means. And obviously Dallas Wilson has made a huge difference. Comes in, 6 catches, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. You think he unlocked.
Did you see anyone that could cover him?
No, I did not see anyone who could cover him.
And I think the other reason why we saw DJ Lagway be better is, hey, man, let's get him the rock. Because that guy's a stud.
That guy is a stud. And then Jaden Baugh runs 27 times, 107 yards. He was good, too.
The thing that actually surprised me in this game was I was very surprised, not that Florida could run the ball, but how effectively Florida ran the ball. Especially at points in the game where essentially Texas is like, all right, well, we just got to stop the run and we're going to be okay. And they couldn't even do that.
Florida averaged 7 yards a play.
I know.
I mean, it was...
Now, obviously, they had some big shots in there and whatnot, but, like, they still averaged 4.3 sack-adjusted rushing every time.
All right. And so then we go to Texas.
Ooh,
a lot of disappointing teams out there. And you've got... It is... We'll get to Penn State. The two teams ranked number one and number two coming into the year... Penn State and Texas, neither one is in the top 25. And for Texas, I mean, the biggest thing is that Arch is not what, like, the people crowning Texas was, look at all that talent, and by the way, they're going to have one of the best three quarterbacks in the country.
Yep.
And they don't have one of the best three quarterbacks in the country.
Nope.
Now, I don't think it's forever writ that he will never be a great college quarterback. Like, he does make throws that you're like, oh, that's, and then he makes three throws that you're like, what the hell was that? He takes sacks and he
had, this was the first time when they were trying to mount the comeback. I think it was the touchdown drive to get it to 21. He did have consecutive good throws. And I was trying to rack my brain if I can remember consecutive good throws the rest of the year. And then like he threw another pick.
16 to 29, 263 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I am now at the point, though, where I'm wondering, like, I believe he could still be a good quarterback, but I do wonder, can he be a good quarterback at Texas? Like, I almost wonder if he has to have a change of scenery and just, like, completely reset.
Well, that's the question.
Now, it's also important to note, like...
I mean, like, Quinn Ewers was bad his freshman year, but it was his freshman year.
Correct.
It wasn't just his first year as a starter. It was his freshman year. Arch has been in this program, you know?
I think the other problem that you have to, like, look at, it's like, okay, they clearly missed on some offensive linemen. And
well, like, that's the other thing. They can't run the ball at all.
He was their leading rusher on Saturday.
And so he's got no running game to help him out. Some of those sacks were his fault.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. But also some aren't.
Correct.
It's
the opposite of Ty Simpson. Like we said, Ty looks like everything's kind of like max
under
effort,
control, yeah,
whatnot, but like he's throwing on time. The ball's out of his hand.
Sort of similar situations. They've both been there in the program for a long time. One is doing what he's being asked to do.
I'm very curious to see if they...
Where's it going?
I mean, I do think it would be hilarious if Lane makes...
Would he go to either Tennessee or Ole Miss? That's my question.
I think so. I mean, to me, like, what would be funny...
It would be fun if he were at Ole Miss.
But, like, okay, like, let's say Lane makes the decision to stick with Trinidad Chambliss, and that ends up costing him Austin Simmons, and then, you know, all this... It's weird. It would be the one time the Mannings would have to go back and be like, we're sorry, because they've been very public and private trashers of Lane Kiffin for some reasons that were legitimate in the past, I would say. And if they had to go back and say,
they've trashed Lane
Kiffin? Oh, yeah. Because, well, Peyton, the Tennessee thing, they think he's a snake. And
oh, right. Well,
it'd be funny.
Really interesting to see how that all plays out. But my God, it's a sport, man. College football.
It's a thing.
College football is great. And who the hell would have imagined that we would be seeing this? All right, we got one more. They're the perpetual all hat, no cattle. And now they seem to have some cattle. Take care of State 31-9. I mean, the last time we saw State, State was in a shootout with Tennessee. Remember that?
Absolutely.
And then and they totally throttle them. 31-9. A&M. If you look at the Auburn game and the State game combined, those two teams had one third down conversion against A&M. How about that?
Again, I am very open to the idea that this might be the best team in the conference, because physically, when you see them, you can see the makings of it. They're able to run the football. I mean, they're kind of, honestly, a lot of what they do is kind of like similar to Memphis, where it's like, hey, we've got a quarterback that is mobile, we've got a great offensive line, we think we can run the ball, and then we can take some big shots. And they kind of mirror that. It's just, I don't know, it always feels a little clunky when you're watching it on offense for me. But their defense, I think we can say their defense isn't just, oh, they played Auburn last week. I do think it's fair to say, like, their defense is really coming along.
And they got a win at Notre Dame on their resume.
Yes.
All right, other teams that we could have played. I was arguing that maybe we should have played the Navy fight song. A, it's a great fight song.
Yes, absolutely.
Can we agree on that? But Jeffrey made the case, and I think it's true, that A&M played better than Navy.
Yes.
But still, Blake Horvath doing Blake Horvath things. Navy and Air Force, by the way, 588 passing yards, the most ever in a
what a world.
Air Force Academy game. Are you going to have to reevaluate your system?
No.
Okay, we could have played Cincinnati. Massive win over Iowa State. You saw that one coming, didn't you?
I did. That was one. I definitely, if we would have included the first three quarters, I think we could have done Cincinnati. But the fact that I had to sit there and I couldn't turn the game off, despite the fact that they were up like 31-7, that was annoying.
So Scott said, like, listen, it's been rough for Cincinnati in the Big 12, but not now. They are 4-1, 2-0 in the Big 12. Scott Satterfield had been 3-9 and 5-7. So Cincinnati looks like they've arrived. Our old friends Houston, not so much. They got pummeled.
They got Texas Tech.
Yeah, they got Texas Tech. We could have played Virginia yet again.
Another overtime winner
over Louisville. Now this one, honestly, it was two defensive touchdowns. They only generated 237 yards of offense, but they are 3-0 in the ACC for the first time since.
Even though they've lost to NC State, it wasn't an ACC game.
That's correct. So,
what a world.
What a world. 2008.
Two charter members of the league playing each other, but it doesn't count.
Did not count. Anyone else we could have celebrated?
I thought about celebrating Wake, but can we really celebrate if you just beat Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I don't think so. And we could have celebrated UNLV winning in the hail. All right, we're going to blow a team up. Let's do that.
Let's do.
I it's just inexplicable.
That's the only word for it.
It is utterly inexplicable. Penn State loses to a UCLA team over, it was favored by 25 points. UCLA 0-4. UCLA had lost to New Mexico 35-10. And it is UCLA 27, Penn State 7 at the half. It is utterly, utterly inexplicable. Penn State goes out, spends $3.1 million for their defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles. They give up 435 yards to UCLA. Nico has his look at who do you like me now game.
It's the best he's ever played.
Now, if you listen to like Jerry Neuheisel,
yep,
who's Rick Neuheisel's son.
This was a good story, I thought.
This was great because Neuheisel is watching in studio.
It's on the game's on CBS. He's doing the studio.
In studio, yep. And they have a cutout, a clip of him just going bananas when the game ends. His son Jerry is calling the plays. Tom Skipper, who was an interim last year, by the way, is now an interim elsewhere. He's an interim this year. And Neuheisel just says this is the difference that a coach can make. This is the difference of spirit, you know, whatever. I don't understand this. Like, one thing you could say, you know, about James Franklin, he may have not won the big ones, but he won the little ones.
Yeah, he rarely, if ever, loses when he's not supposed to.
He's got a $50 million buyout. It was posited somewhere over the weekend that this is one where they should just go their separate ways.
Okay, but that's easier said than done because, to your point, they owe him $50 million.
And he's not just going to leave without the $50
million. Well, and on top of that...
But what if there's a great job that wants to pay him more?
But if you're a great job, why is he at the top of your list?
Because he wins consistently. Look what he's built.
I don't know. I think that it is going to be...
What are the great jobs? Florida, if it comes open. What else we got?
I mean, do you think Auburn? But, like, that's an interesting game this week. Like, I can see where it goes badly.
Would you like James Franklin to be your coach?
I think most Auburn people, if this continues to go a certain way, they just don't want Hugh Freeze to be their coach. Because, like, that's how it goes. If you can make the deal.
Matter. So you're James Franklin, you'd rather run it back at Penn State than
right.
Auburn.
That's the thing is, like, they have to figure out some way.
I think you just chalk this up as a bad year.
Man, that's where it starts to come, because now the fan base is just like done.
This is like, it is impossible to get your mind around.
I mean, I guess if they were to beat Ohio State.
Well, that's the thing. They still have Ohio State and Indiana yet to come. You're right. If they beat Ohio State, they can recover.
But, I mean, why would we think that this year's different?
They're not going to beat Ohio State.
I mean, my thing is, like, okay, yes, this is a new offense that you hadn't prepared for, whatnot. But it's like, really, you couldn't settle down in the second half and figure this out? And on top of that, it's like, you couldn't score on this defense? Everybody scores on this defense.
Everyone, again, New Mexico beat UCLA 35-10. It's just incredible. Other schools that we could blow up, obviously.
North Carolina.
Yeah, there is North Carolina. North Carolina, in the wake of Michael Lombardi sending out a letter saying it's going to take patience, blah, 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 they have now lost to TCU, UCF, and Clemson 120-33.
And by the way, Dabo might have been the only person that didn't run it, that wasn't going to run it up on him.
Oh.
Like that. That game could have been 70-6.
Let's see. Other things of interest that we have not discussed. My Dukies, how about that? You know, they started out losing to Illinois and Tulane, but now they're 3-0 in conference because of that conference tilt with Cal.
Correct. Ridiculous. Of course, who could forget? They were very good because Cal jumped on them early. Like, Cal, and then Duke, basically from about midway through the second quarter.
You know, we could blow up Maryland.
That was a brutal
Maryland up 20-0, and they still covered.
I can't blow them up. And they still covered.
Oh, God.
That was tough.
God. Michigan beats Wisconsin. BYU beats West Virginia. I don't know. And then there's talk about Stoops. There's talk about Stoops at Kentucky, right? Is it time?
Yeah, but I mean, the whole buyout's due at like within a month.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk. We got Grizzlies got a preseason game tonight against Detroit. We'll get to see Sid Coward. And Chris Harrington was at the open practice over the weekend. We'll talk to him about what he saw there and other matters. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.